Heavenly Father, we worship you this morning. Lord, we lay down our lives before you. We lay down ourselves fully, spirit, soul, and body, before your most holy throne. We lay down ourselves to be transformed by the infusion of your spirit. This morning, Lord, we have come again to drink of that spirit. Give us insight in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Give us understanding in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, let every wrong spirit that may have attached itself to us be removed by the entrance of the word today in the name of Jesus Christ. And let the spirit of Christ in us be amplified. And let your name be glorified. In the name of Jesus we have prayed.
Amen.
Now because we know the Lord has done great things for us, let's declare as follows. One, two, let's go.
Now
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ear to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. Let's take our seats. Okay, this morning we start from Psalm 51. It said in Psalm 51, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge." He said, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit." Let me just stop reading verse 12. Okay, that will be enough saving of time. Okay? But if you go down to verse 17, from 15, it says, "O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I will give it. You are not pleased with burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." All right, the Lord is good. All right, let's try and conclude what we have been talking about. At least let's see how far we can go today talking about man's spirits and the judgments. Man's spirits and the judgment. I use the word spirits in plural deliberately. And the judgments. I want to remind us again that what comes to you in life, all right, is a result of the kind of spirit that you have within you. Do you understand? Your spirit, I said before, is more powerful than your consciousness. That is, there is a part of you that is more powerful than your will. That thing is very important for us to understand. I said the other time that for Judas to betray Jesus Christ, he had to be possessed. Satan had to enter him. A spirit bigger than him entered him. For you to do things that are good. That's what the Bible calls the spirit of faith. They say faith by the spirit. Paul said having the same spirit of faith. You see, faith is infused into you also by a spirit. I am convinced. I don't have any doubt in my heart. That when Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah stood before Nebuchadnezzar to speak, it was not their mind that was speaking. It was not their will that was speaking. It was because a spirit had entered into them to set them on their feet. Do you get my point? Which was what Ezekiel said to us in that Ezekiel chapter 2. He said, the spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. It is not easy. Let's be honest. It's not self-determination for you to just get up. I mean, somebody threatens you. And, you know, if you are caught by surprise, it's different. But when you are watching the fire bit by bit, giving you time to change your mind, it's something else has to be inside you. All right? Even Jesus said it, that don't worry, in the time of persecution, they are going to bring you before judges. They are going to bring you before panels, judicial panels. All right? For you to defend what you have been doing. So don't worry about what you are going to see at that particular point in time. He said, because at that time, I will give you a mouth and a wisdom. Do you understand? You will open your mouth to speak. Something else will come out that you did not know. I will give you a mouth and a wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to understand. They will say, what is this man saying? They will not be able to refute anything you will say. The emphasis is that it's not your wisdom. It is the wisdom he will pour in you at that point in time. See, this kind of spirit that is controlling you matters in life. That's why I wrote the book, Someone is Controlling You. Please, if you have not read the book, you know you are an enemy of Pastor Banky. After I've begged you all this while to read it. Okay, you're not my enemy. You are doing yourself some disfavor. Hey, yes, you are hurting yourself by not reading it. I'm not charging you for it, am I? I said you can download it free of charge. You only need to pay money if you are taking the paper copy. So to cover part, this is just part of the cost of printing because for certain reasons we have subsidized most of our books. But if you are reading the digital copy, it's on our website. It's free of charge. We're not charging you anything. All right? Go to pastor.ng. That is the website. Download it there. Someone is controlling you. Please read it. I've explained again and again. Where God gives you the control over your life is a different area. Life is like this. There is, in the Bible, talk about the root of bitterness. Sometimes you see, bitterness is a root. It will make people do things they did not plan to do. All right? They are seeds and they are fruits. Many things you are doing in life or experiencing in life, they are nothing but fruits. But really, it's the root that matters. It's the seed that matters. So what God gives you is the opportunity to plant the right seeds. So what you do, like now you are here this morning, you are sitting down, listening to the word of God. You are planting right seeds in your heart. You are planting right seeds in your heart. Now those seeds will germinate. One day you are going to take actions. You are going to make decisions. It's not you that's making that decision that time. It's a seed that was planted at a time like this. It's a seed that was planted when you were listening to a message. It's a seed that was planted when you're talking to people. And this works both ways. It works both ways. If you sit down all the time where people are infusing you. Now listen, words are not words. Words, I mean, they are not mere words. They are carriers of a spirit. That's what words are. So when you sit, and it's very sad these days, when I hear a lot of people talk, and I want to start from there today. You know the kind of spirit they've been drinking of, what somebody has been infusing into them, all right? Now, when you sit with people, they are infusing a spirit into you. Even when you think you are being entertained, like we said, someone said, whatever entertains you does what? It enters you, actually enters you. It enters you. If you sit there all the time, all right, watching immorality, it will enter you. You don't get the point. It's not as if you want to do something that is bad. It's just that it will enter you. In fact, somebody said, one of these philosophers of the past, I can't remember which one of them, but I've heard different people quote it. I used to quote a particular man, but apparently he was quoting somebody else. He said, let me write the songs of a people. I don't care who writes the laws. Did you hear that? He said, I want to write the songs. I don't care who writes the laws. That I will control the people. If I can control the songs, the laws you make, they will break it. They will break them. They will break the laws. And like somebody said, it's not just songs. Like when the person said, when that philosopher said that thing about songs, he said song to represent all forms of entertainment. Do you get my point? So let me write the dramas they will watch. Let me write the script for their movies. Do you understand? Let me write literally their songs. I had one guy, very ungodly too, all right? He doesn't believe in God and all of that, but he has a very loud mouth, all right? He was being interviewed by a very powerful podcaster. So he featured on his podcast, and somebody had listened to him quite a bit, all right? Listened to him a bit. So that interviewed that guy. He just said something there. A short portion. He explained that a lot of the problems they have in the black community in America is their rap music. And he released some lines and said, this is where you teach young people how to rape women. He said, yeah, yes. Anyway, he released some of the lines and analyzed them. He said, what is this? He said, that's rape being described. And a young boy will grow up rapping this. He's, you know, he's drinking the culture. He's drinking the culture. And listen, it's a spirit that is entering. It's a spirit that is entering. So it's very important we understand. What we do is a result of the kind of spirit we'll drink off. There's a book I said I wanted to write. I've not written it. I hope I will write it one day. I may not, but, you know, it was after I wrote, Should I Say Yes? Which we have now broken into two portions for reasons I've explained the previous times, that people didn't realize the content was not just for the unmarried. They thought it was only for those who wanted to marry. So I said, no, I don't say yes already. And of course, people that don't like to read before, just by the way, even if you, the kind of person I am, I'll still read it. Do you get it? I'll still read it. If I was the one, I saw a book, I just pick it up. I look at who the author is. I said, no, this guy says something. I'll read it. You know why? Many reasons. One, when you are writing something, you write many other things. One. Number two, at this my age, if I cannot help people with the knowledge I will take from your book, then what am I doing? But people used to, you know, they used to hide their laziness behind, the topic does not apply to me. It doesn't matter. I read books on business, I don't do business. If somebody writes, they do business seminar for Christians, I will sit down there and listen. Why? I'm an instructor of righteousness. I teach other people. So let me learn. And that's a small aside, okay? So because people just say, no, so I said, all right. People got two sections, as you know. The first section is how to make a choice in marriage. The second section was how to live as a Christian married person. Well, I finally just separated it. Sometimes you just have to help people. And I turned it to fundamentals of the same book. I didn't change it. I just took it, tore it into two, and gave it two a new title to the second section and called it Fundamentals of Christian Marriage. So those who bought the first one, who acquired the first one, they have a book, one book, titled Should I Say Yes, that has two sections. But afterwards, if you buy Should I Say Yes, second edition, he has only the first section. And then the second section has now been titled Fundamentals of Christian Marriage. All right, small aside. Okay, so when after that book, all right, or now those books, I feel like writing another one titled I Need to Know. It's something like, it's basically a follow-up to the first portion of how to make decisions concerning who should I marry or not. I need to know. That's why I want to title it. What do I need to know? I just need to know how you think. I need to know who you interact with. I need to know what you listen to. I need to know where you go. Why? One of the most important things for a young person, okay, is to know you are marrying somebody who's going in the same direction. Unfortunately, people want to marry somebody who has arrived at a particular place. Do you follow? Yes. See, life is dynamic. If somebody has arrived at a particular place, it does not tell you where he will go tomorrow. It does not tell you where she will go tomorrow. What you want to know, which direction is this fellow going? Most people, okay, let me not say most. I've not done statistical analysis of that. Do I have any report of somebody who has done it? But, for sure, many people who are rich at 30 are not rich at 50. Yeah. Most people are, but I can say this confidently. Most people who are rich at 50 were not rich at 30. I heard something during the week. I shouted, wow. It was a statement made by, you know, a business person said it. Yeah, one of these businessmen, one of these CEOs of these companies. He said that everything you know is about the past. Listen carefully. He said, but all the decisions you will make, it's about the future. Did you catch that?
Yes.
It's everything you know. Yes. It's about the past. He said, but all, as a CEO, yes, all the decisions you are required to make, they're about the future. What does that tell you? Life is a mess. Yes. If you say this thing works, It means it has worked before. Then you say, let's go that way. You are hoping it will work tomorrow. You know why God even did that thing? So that men will always remember, the power belongs to God. Small aside, bear that in mind. The power belongs to God. There's no way you can predict the future successfully. You can't. Except God reveals it. You know, I was watching a video, all right? Somebody compiled, years ago, not even now, when Donald Trump won election for the first time. Which year was that? 2016, right? The first time Donald Trump won the election. Somebody now sat down and compiled all the videos of the people who said he couldn't win. You know, you listen to the video. I remember Nancy Pelosi said, you know Nancy Pelosi, for a very long time she was Speaker of the House. He was dismissing it. He said, take it to the bank. He will never be the President of the United States. One woman was very famous person, but was on the panel. So who do you think among the Republicans now who might actually win the primaries? He said, maybe Donald Trump. If you see the eruption, the other panelists almost fell down. The audience roared, wow, don't be ridiculous. And the lady was looking like, what have I said that is so bad? Everybody thought she was ridiculous. They interviewed, what's the name of this actor that did the Forrest Gump? It's a very old movie, but it's a very successful actor. Anyway, they interviewed him. He said, do you think that this man can win the election? He said, yes, when dinosaurs will arrive on spaceships. So that's about the time that Donald Trump will win. Now, they kept compiling it. Everybody said, oh, Donald Trump. Whoopi Goldberg made a joke of the whole thing. He's even running for president. They will laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. And one of the analysts, and the polls were showing all the polls till the day before the election. After I won primaries, to everybody's shock. Now, let me just tell you, including me. My wife was laughing at them when we watched it. I said, so I don't laugh too much because I would have said the same thing. The only difference is that I would have put, unless the Lord, do you get my point? Till he won the primaries, they were still saying it's not possible. That's when everybody should have realized that something's happening. After I won the primaries, I told one of my colleagues that this guy may just win this election. I just said it in passing. In all the polls, all, Hillary Clinton had a double-digit lead, at least 10% lead. In all the polls. So imagine the shock. Now, that's why I said that man, that Indian prophet, I said, the man is a real prophet. Because in the midst of all of these things, in the midst of all this, it's not possible. He stood up and told the congregation that the Lord showed me that this is the next president of the United States of America. In the midst of this, it's impossible. He stood up in August, a few months before the elections, and said, the Lord showed me that this man is the next president, that it has been decided in heaven. Now, what am I saying? It's not possible for you to predict the future unless God gives you revelation. It's not. Everything you are doing that, you're just guessing. So I'm telling single people, therefore, if you want your husband to be rich, don't look for a rich man to marry. He can become poor. My friend used to say, of course, just mocking people. I don't know how many people remember the days of 190. Mercedes-Benz 190. 190E. A small, very nice ride. He said many ladies, now he was saying this after the car had become old and almost forgotten. He said many ladies married men because they bought them 190s. He said they are still driving that 190 till today. That's 12 years, 15 years later. He said they are still driving that very 190. The guy has not been able to replace it. What am I saying? See, there's no guarantee that a man that was rich at 30 will be rich at 50. None. There is none. Even if he bought all the gold in South Africa, You don't know who the Lord is. There's no guarantee. And most men today, every time it's always like that, who are rich at 50, were not at 30. But go and check something. At 30, they were hardworking. At 30, they had something they were doing. It may have been small, but every morning the man wakes up and goes somewhere. Listen to this. People who count on him. These are the things you watch out for. Young ladies, I'm telling you. If you find a man that nobody can count on, yourself, don't count on him, run. You don't think he'll, yeah. Don't think that he will now become accountable in your case. Who do you think you are? Jesus Christ? You're not Jesus Christ now. If he was not responsible, marrying you will not make him responsible. Let me just give you another trick, another thing that happens in life. Families are always looking for a wife who will take over an irresponsible son. You know? So when you see a young man's family showering gifts on you, visiting you, giving you gifts on his behalf, that's why you should run. When the siblings and the parents of a young man is nicer to you than he is, be suspicious. Be suspicious. One of our sisters told me something when they were talking, something just led to the matter of marriage and all of that. When I started talking about one guy, she now said, his mother really likes me. I said, okay. I said, let me tell you those who like you. Me, I like you. My wife, she likes you. See all these brethren, they like you. I said, should I give you a list of those of us that like you? I said, who wouldn't like you? Let's be honest. I said, you're a fine girl. You're a Christian. You are working, just graduated from school, a working professional. I said, please, what else is there not to like? You're not impressed somebody likes you. When we are more than 50. If from my household alone, I can count four for you. My wife, my children. I said, okay, what is now the issue that his mother likes you? You want to marry mama? One of our sisters met me like that. She talked. In fact, she traveled to come and see me. She needed to talk to somebody. But this mother likes me also came up. I said, "Did you have come again? You know, like this." I look at her. Which mother wouldn't like you? My mother will also like you. Do you follow my point? look at you. You see, Christians, you understand. You're a Christian girl. Everybody likes Christian girls. Everybody. Say, I know a woman that does it. No. That one is because the son really likes you. So you are in competition. The mother has been possessive. I said, you came from work. Took permission from work to come and see me. And look at you, Christian. And when I just told her, flat. We talk here, talk. At the end, when we finish the talk, I said, listen, I'll give you an instruction. Don't marry that guy for anything. He's not a responsible person. That's why the mother likes you so much. That's another story. I said, don't even try it. I told her, is it this guy? The mother is looking for somebody like her to hand over this guy to. Dami, how did we get to that point? We're talking about, should I say yes, Abi? I don't know, I got to die. Yes. No, so, in that, what I wanted to write was, I need to know, summary, the kind of spirit you have. And it's so important. Jesus mentioned it. You don't know the kind of spirit you have. The kind of spirit somebody has matters. That determines the direction. And that's what I was trying to say. The direction is what matters. A lot of people, that's why I told the story of the CEOs. You are judging based on what is happening now. That's why I told the story of Donald Trump. People are judging over the past, things that have happened before. They didn't know where God was going. And I said, you cannot predict the future. The only thing you can look out for is what kind of spirit does somebody have? That's why I wanted to write that book. Like I say all the time, I'm going back to it. I tell young women, there are certain kinds of men you should marry. Diligent. Of course, let's not talk about the fact that they are Christians. That's a foregone conclusion. Do you get my point? When I was giving, people asked me, what kind of wife do you want to marry? I never said I wanted to marry a Christian. You know why? I didn't think it was debatable. I could have told I want to marry a human being. He said, what kind of wife you will like? That she must be Homo sapiens. Does that make sense? She must be a human being. I didn't have to tell you. I wasn't going to marry a monkey. Adam did not agree to marry a monkey. Adam did not marry the python. Am I the one that will start it? God had to create Eve. In the same manner, as a Christian, being a believer was not to be discussed. It's not one of the conditions. It's like you want to choose a replacement for Judas. You now check, you allow Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes to join. Does it make sense? A replacement for Judas had to be one of the disciples. So that's what I mean by it. I didn't think at all that to say the person must be a believer. Who for me before? Now, where I'm going is that the thing you check, somebody like me, you understand? How serious, though you're a believer, he said they called the faithful and the chosen. Three levels of being a believer. All of us are called. Amongst those who are called, some are chosen. That's those who have responded positively to the call. And amongst them, some have proven themselves what? Faithful. I was talking about the kind of person. Do you get? So, you see, so as I said, I didn't have to say a Christian. So, the point I'm making is that amongst the Christians, so we'll settle that. Somebody who is faithful, diligent. I'm giving young women tips. Men too. Also tips for them. Somebody who is what? Faithful, diligent, you know? It's not somebody who is rich. It's somebody who looks like he's going somewhere. And when I say going somewhere, he's actually every day going somewhere. Do you understand my point? If he's in a church, he's okay, he's working in church. Check how well that church is doing because of him. Do you follow the point I'm making? These are the kind of things that shows you the direction the individual is going. Please, whoever is listening to this, bear this in mind. Please, you see a young man who's very rich. Anytime you knock on the door of their family house, he's at home. Don't marry him. Why should you be at home? Okay, deliberately, I've been coming at 10 a.m. Do you follow? Why should you be at home every time at 10 in the morning? Then they work for your family. Your father that's paying for all these things. Is that how you always do at home? Are you drug dealers or something? Do you follow what I'm saying? You should. I mean, when I say, oh God, please, damn, beg me to go back to my message. If he's too nice to you, he's not a good husband. I know what I'm saying. When I say too nice, at 12 o'clock, you say you want to eat ice cream. 12 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. And he has time to go and look for ice cream for you. He should be too busy. Ice cream is not important to your destiny. And you're a bad person requesting such favors. I'll get back to my message. Please, can I beg? I bring something once. My wife was not very happy to hear the message. Because women, sometimes they know they like this thing. I said, the Bible says, love your wife how? Not how she wants to be loved. So I would say, this is my love language. Your love language is number two. The first thing is what? As Christ loved the church. And please, ladies and gentlemen too. Ladies especially. Learn what is good and enjoy it. Don't entrench yourself in romance stories for you to think that's how life is. That is not how life is. Don't magnify yourself too much. Do you follow my point? You know, this is the way I... That's not Christianity. Learn new things. There are some things that is you. Like, for example, now, I don't like expensive fish. So that kind of thing, I understand. So Pastor Mike doesn't like expensive fish. Sometimes my wife tells me that it's a cost. I say, why are you buying it? He said, but it's nice. I said, who told you? Now, those are the kind of things we can hold on to. They are not important. Whether you swallow or you eat rice. They are not important. But on things that really matter, things that can change your mood, that can... No, go and read scripture and find out what the Bible says. So I said, the Bible says what? Love your wife. How? As Christ loved the church. Now, go and read your scriptures and decide that. Now, all these other things, whether you're buying parfait or ice cream or cake, there's level 2, level 3. But that level 1, don't alter it. What I'm saying, why I say that is that, young women, don't judge a man is very nice when he always has time for you. That's an irresponsible man. On Thursday, by 11 o'clock, you call him that you feel like eating fried rice and chicken. And at least what he's doing to go and get it for you. And you still marry that guy. Two of you are not planning to prosper. And someone will say, oh, he's such a nice person. Oh, you know, anytime I ask him, this guy, your friends will tell you the truth. Number one, you are not normal, first. For you to be wanting fried rice and chicken, you're not pregnant. Even those who are pregnant, it's with it, but they manage. Because we understand the problems. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
But you are not pregnant, you're just in your office, you're just maybe you're walking somewhere. You're, ah, so I feel like, okay, ah, let me call Fred now, he'll get it for me. And Fred wants to marry you. You and Fred, you're not planning to do well. And if you're afraid, you're listening to me. Look, I need to tell these people something, because some people now, they watch too many movies. Say, the guy is sweet. That is not... See, some poisons are sweet. You know that? They're sweet. I didn't want to poison an animal. You don't give me something bitter. I don't know whether you have poisoned rats before. Do you just say, hey, ratty, come and take poison? No. What do? You look for crayfish. Look for food that the rat likes. And you put the poison inside. So some of these sweet things, they're poisoning your soul. Like I was saying, okay, so if you are the, is it Fred we call the guy?
Yeah.
If you are the Fred, please, you want to show whether the woman you want to marry is serious. When she calls, you say, I'm in the office. So, but I want to eat rice and chicken. I say, my boss wants to see me. You're not serious. You want to eat fried rice and chicken at 11 o'clock on Thursday? Some people won't like it. Say, if I find you are too hard. I say, see, I'm talking about destiny here, talking about whether I'm too hard. Hey, you want to eat rice and chicken? When I close work, 7 o'clock. I'll drive by your place, I'll pick you up, we'll go to where they sell fried rice and chicken. I need you to go and bring it for me. You're not hungry. And obviously, you're not. Because this work I'm doing is planning a good destiny for both of us.
Yes, sir.
You want to now use my destiny to eat fried rice and chicken? It's not romantic. Don't think it's romantic. But when I'm on holiday, after we have married now, okay, we are honeymoon. If you want to eat elephant and hippopotamus, of course I will go and get it now at any time of the day. What I'm saying is that a responsible man is more important than a romantic man. Do you follow where I'm going? I hope you can get me clear. A responsible man is more important than a romantic man. So that's why I was talking about the book, I Need to Know. These are the things that matter. Now, back to the message. Want to know the kind of spirit somebody has. That's what I was saying. But let's switch around to our own selves now. You need to also know the kind of spirit that you have. Sometimes people don't know. And I'm talking today on the negative side, not on the positive side, because, you know, we said before, it is not accurate teaching for us to say that as Christians, because we are born again, our spirit is pure. No. Not because God gave you a spirit that is impure, but because the Bible says that spirits can be defiled. Do you understand? How do we know? Paul said, cleanse yourself of all what? Defilement of flesh and of spirit. So spirits can be defiled. That's just what we're saying. We know the seed of God is pure. We know that. But in that compartment of your soul, or of your being, yeah, that's a good word, of your being that's called spirit, the spirit of God is in there. Oh, that spirit is creepy. No, why this philosophy then? That, can you imagine the Holy Spirit inhabiting the same place with an evil spirit? It sounds like it's not possible, right? But read scripture, it's very possible. They're not struggling for space. And we explained that the Bible says that God said, let there be light. And there was light. Then what did he now do? He now separated the light from the darkness. If it did not, Within physics, what is darkness? Absence of light. But read your Bible, darkness is not absence of light. Darkness is a spiritual force that troubles people. And Jesus told us, you can sow wheat. What does the enemy do? In the same place, it will come and sow tares. The same place. He said, no, this is the field of God. Enemy cannot sow tares. No! The Lord made it clear, you can sow wheat. And while you are careless, while you are sleeping, the enemy will come to the same place and sow tares. Now listen to this. A lot of people make decisions based on tares that have been sown in their heart. And they said, my spirit said. It's a defiled spirit that spoke. They thought because it came from where they thought their spirit is, it must be correct. No, 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 no. That's why the Bible gives us the word of God as a guide. That teaching we give ourselves that you see, if you can pray and then you hear from your spirit, doesn't mean anything. I'm sorry to say it. The word of God is a guide. Very funny illustration, but it works. Assuming that me, right now, I pray. After praying for days, my spirit now begins to speak to me. And my spirit now says to me, I shall arise and marry one woman in the church. Bro, you know, if I told you that, what would you tell me? As I am right now, I say, my brother, I've been praying for the last 3 days. I've not eaten. Only drank water in the evenings. I prayed and I was silent. Then my spirit I heard arise. The sister Amaka. That's the will of. What are you going to say?
I will tell you it's not the will of God.
No, you ask whether, Pastor, have you gone mad? That's the thing that will come to your mind. You may not be able to tell me out of respect, but in your mind, you will call Kingsley, say, Kingsley, we have to pray. Oh, something is wrong. Why would did you not believe my spirit? Because the scriptures have been broken. The word of God is being broken. You don't regard. Look, it's like, Pastor, if you tell me God told you, I still will not agree. Say, God showed you his ID card. National ID. He showed it to you. You will still not. There's nothing I want to tell you why. You have your Bible on your laps. And you can easily open the Bible and show me. So, the word of God is a more important guide than what your spirit is saying. That lets you also know what is pure and what is impure. So you will say, you heard from your spirit, fine. But sir, that was from the impure part. That's from the defilement. So let's go and cleanse the defilement first. After we have cleansed, so it is not, you don't cleanse defilement by, you pray on one spot. Oh. You cleanse the defilement by applying the word of God regularly. First, using it to assess yourself. Is that self-assessment? That's what I'm talking about. Oh, our text was what? Psalm 51, the story of David. And that's the first thing I want to explain today. Well, it was supposed to be the first, but we'll say some things along the line. Sometimes, okay, let me say this. The human heart, the Bible says, is very deceptive. It's very deceitful. Now, please, let me explain the meaning of the word deceit again. Yesterday, we were talking about pride. Say, the proud man does not feel proud. He feels normal. You are the one that thinks he's proud. He feels very normal. When he says, me and you no be the same category, that's exactly, he can give you evidence. He doesn't feel bad. Yes, we were talking about it because, okay, if I may just go there for a moment. We're analyzing, of course, we've been analyzing for some time in our discussions. Who the overcomer is using Revelation 2 and Revelation 3 when Jesus wrote to those seven churches. At the end, he will say, to him that overcomes. But then one thing he always used to add is, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to all the churches. So, you're a member of the church in Laodicea. You will listen to what he said to the church in Sardis. You are a member of the church in Smyrna. You will listen to what is said to the church in Philadelphia. You are a member of the church in Enugu. You will listen to what is said to all the seven churches. And now what we're talking about pride is that
You will never look at anyone. That's this is the issue of pride we're talking about yesterday. You will never look at anyone and say, this one does not apply to me. No, you never do that. All the rebukes must apply to you. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
If you say you have departed from your first love, say, Lord, I am sorry. And this is you that don't... The first love is still beside you. You still love the Lord the way... But once you know he's an issue to him in the life of any believer, you take that issue and add it to your own checklist. Regular checklist. Regular, that is, this is you that thinks you stand. But you will make sure you check yourself regularly. Is this part of my problem? If I notice it, it is part of my problems. Let me correct it. Now, you know why? Fact. You most likely have a small problem in that area. It's not big, but small. And that small, you can make advancement in that area. You tolerate that woman called Jezebel, he told them. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to all the churches. Take it. And Father God, there are doctrines I tolerate in my life. And you're a good minister. You're a pastor over 10,000 people. But there are still doctrines you tolerate that the Lord... So just... Now, you know why? Because the proud will say, it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply to me. Even when it applies to him, the heart of man is very deceitful. The heart is very... It will give you the kind of confidence you should not have. It will pass. It will give you a pass mark when you are supposed to have failed. Let's go back to David. You know, we said Psalm 51. So you know what happened to David? David was very... Now, listen to what I want to say carefully. David was very sure. Oh, I love thy law. Oh, Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in your tabernacle. Oh, Lord. Oh, I love you. As a deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul pants after you. Oh, as we say, I rejoice at that word, at the finds grace for. He loves strange women. Like, not me. No. I will never take another man's wife. In fact, the sinner is contemptible to me. And I will drive him out of my kingdom every day. These are scriptures, Psalms. God is looking at David, though. I know what I'm telling you. That's what Paul wrote. He said, if you see any person taken by an offense amongst your brethren, he said, those of you who are spiritual, you restore such a one. How? The spirit of meekness. Not, bro, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What are you doing? This is the problem with Christians. They're not serious. This is the problem. We tell them to fast. They don't fast. We tell them to... But those of us who have fasted, the devil knows us. Those of us who have groaned, the devil knows we cannot touch us. If you ever spoke like that first, be repenting now. Because God is going to judge that in tomorrow. If you don't do the repentance as I'm talking right now, you come to church feeling very spiritual. Never mind him. We said you should pray that time, didn't pray. Pray now so you will not pray later. Like my brother here, we say, talk less, pray more. I'm not saying it's bad. Do you get my point? I'm just saying that you'll not be feeling, I don't talk much. I pray all the time. Good morning, sir. And you are feeling very spiritual. Let's put it like this. That's how David was. He's feeling zealous for the Lord. Come and see my zeal for the Lord. And the Lord looks and says, David, I'm not saying you are not zealous. So I'm not saying you don't love the word. But you see, there is what is called darkness. A little bit that's remaining that has to be separated from your light. There's a little bit of defilement of your spirit. David didn't listen. That's the problem. You know when you're saying that's a rebuke? That's the problem with Joab. I've warned Joab about these things. That's the problem with Abishai. I've warned them about these things. God said, see, David is silent in spirit and is riding in zeal for the Lord. So the Lord just told the angels, all right. Everybody, you all know my boy's weakness. Say, yes, sir. And I've been deployed all this while to make sure it doesn't get into such a trouble. Say, yes, sir. So now you shall leave him alone for 24 hours. The wrong spirit inside David, it didn't go to war. Said, so we have accomplished much. It left for the boys. Just by the way, if you're a pastor of a church, don't leave anything for the boys. When they are coming to church to come and join wire, I'm not saying you go and join wire with them. Stay in your office. And make sure you know which wire is being joined. They are cleaning. Stay there. You know what happened to David? It's a job for the boys. So he stayed at home when kings are supposed to be at war. No problem. Then, do you remember those angels? They had gone out and they didn't say, man, things are rough. Just one day, let me assure you, Bathsheba has been baiting there for a long time. It's not new. But today, the grace that was keeping my guy, the Lord told the guys, move back. So David now, his spirit was now acting up. That spirit that God had been repressing, which, by the way, I can assure you, had been manifesting as he was marrying up and down. God never approved of those nonsense marriages. The first six sons, like we read from scripture, born to him at Hebron, were born by how many women? Six different women. Bro, six sons. That means before one had the opportunity to have a second son, David had. So my own estimate is 12 women were pregnant. That guy was not only fighting wars. See, in case you want to know why Caleb was fighting at 85, David was weak at 70-something. That's why. To impregnate 12 women side by side, your destiny must go. See, is destiny the use of such things? Is destiny? You are eating from your future. Yeah, I know what I'm telling you. Reverend, 12 women pregnant at the same time, you can't have a secure destiny. Quote me, I'm a man of God. It's not possible. See, you can't be a preacher. Do you follow my point? And you'll be womanizing. And your ministry will grow. It's not. See, if it's growing big, it's going to collapse heavy. That was what happened to David. That was the time he should have known. See, be afraid of things that God tolerates. That doesn't say anything. It doesn't mean he approves. Do you get my point? That is why, see, I tell my children, anytime I give an instruction, learn wisdom from the instruction. Don't just obey the instruction. What do? Learn wisdom. Please let me say it again. See, in the house, sometimes I tell the kids, don't do this. No. I said, at the end of the day, or do this, do that. I said, no, don't just do what I said to do. And don't just refuse to do what I said do not do, which is good. Obedience is where children start from. But from obedience, you must learn wisdom. Every instruction must teach you wisdom. As simple as thou shalt not steal. Do you get my point? Sit down and what is the spiritual wisdom behind thou shalt not steal? I don't know whether you are getting my point. What is the spiritual wisdom behind thou shalt not steal? Just learn it. Until, if given the opportunity to run another earth, another creation, you will also, because you know, you will say to them, thou shalt not steal. Do you follow what I'm saying? What I'm saying is that when God gave commandments, gave instructions, the fact that David was marrying many wives and he didn't say anything was not the right. David should have known that these instructions have a spirit behind them. You are marrying many wives. The father of this covenant, Abraham, how many did he marry? How many? David knew the story. The only one, he married only one wife. The only concubine he had, you know the problem it gave to him. David should have learned that. And he should have prayed this prayer when he saw himself marrying one wife after the other. He should have told himself, if Father Abraham comes, he won't be proud of this. What was Abraham's son's name? Isaac. How many wives did he have? See, a man like David should have looked at those things and asked himself why. And listen to this. Solomon said, I gathered for myself the pleasures of all men, many concubines. He gathered. So, it was a failing of the flesh. David felt like having it also. So, David should have taken it to the Lord. But you know what he did? None of the above. He didn't handle the matter. So God said, no problem. I will show you that it's a problem. When the angels left him behind for a short while, by the end of that day, 24 hours, by the end of that day, trouble had commenced. He has seen the right. You know the problem, eh? When evil spirits grip people, till now, I wonder sometimes about why do people do some things? Why do some thoughts even come to my own mind? Man of God, do you get my point? When you know this is wrong. I mean, like, Lord, why do we have to resist? I don't know where my point. Why is there something to resist? Why don't we just, you know why? Because spirits, they are whispering. They are telling you. And when they do, they pull. They have a magnetic force that moves you in the direction of iniquity if you are not careful. See, righteous man that you are not walking this earth all by yourself. The evil spirits that are blowing you, go that way. Go that way. So you are using all your spiritual energy. Do you know, have you ever walked? Okay, maybe you have. Here we don't have too much of this storm level winds and all of that in Nigeria. But we do once in a while. Have you ever walked in the rain, in that kind of wind, with an umbrella? You know, you will learn physics that day by force. When you are older, as soon as the wind starts, you turn the umbrella in the direction of the wind. When you are younger, your umbrella will spoil. You know what I'm saying? You allow the gust of wind to peek under your umbrella. If they take the umbrella from you, and if the umbrella is very strong, it will be pulling you. But if the umbrella is not strong, bam, it destroys it for you. But older people, without learning sense very early that time, once the wind starts, you are looking at the wind, you turn the umbrella in that direction, forcing it to beat on the top of the umbrella. Now, this is actually how this life is. Wind of evil, iniquity, keeps blowing. And you have to use, now that's the point I was getting to. You use energy to keep straight and not bend in the wind. Do you follow my point? You use energy to keep straight and not bend in the wind. And that is the spiritual, what is spiritual energy is used for? You're using the energy not to bend. You're using energy not to bend in the wind. What am I trying to explain? David, he did not do what he was supposed to do at the right time. When the angels left him alone, when the grace of God left him alone, the spirit that was inside him that God never liked manifested. What's the point I was making about that? They actually told David, that is the wife of Uriah. Are you aware I was told? Read your Bible. Uriah was part of the elite corps in David's army. He was not a common soldier. He was one of those people that would give their lives for David. Uriah was a faithful soldier and a valiant one. David, they had to tell him, sir. And which was why his house was near the palace. Common soldiers, their battalion is somewhere like three streets after the next village. Do you follow what I'm saying? Why was Uriah's house nearby? So close that David, walking on the wall of his own palace, on the roof of his palace, could see somebody bathing. Elite corps. People who were strong, who were committed to David. And they told David, hey, do you know, I'm feeling, I'm just feeling bad right here. That David, how could, if you knew, instantly, you will have pulled back. Even if you were tempted before, even if it was a married woman, the moment they mentioned the name of the husband, maybe David, I don't know the lie, the spirit lied to him. But at least we know the truth. He was the only wife Uriah had. Yeah. How do we know? When Nathan came, he described her now. But you know what? They have a saying, I heard it in Western Nigeria. He said, the dog we won't lost. You know the hair whistle? If he's destined to be missing, whistle from now to tomorrow. Doesn't hear again. David was going to be lost. There was nothing. And let me just say another thing. It was also divine setup. It was divine setup to expose the kind of spirit that he had not dealt with. See, if you see yourself reacting, and very important, if you remember, we've discussed this before, why do Christians do business? We've listed a number of reasons. How many is the anomaly code? Is it six? No, it's more than four. Okay, let's go over it. I said number one, to use your gifts. You know, God wants to, through you, bless people. That's so you offer services when you are doing business. Another one. To establish righteousness, that's another one, that's true. Then, that's you teach people the right thing to do by doing the right things that they can copy. You are the light. Okay, that's number two. Number three? Yes, to make a good name, yes. Yeah, it's very important. To make a good name for the Lord. Very important. That's number three. Number four? Okay, let me give you the one as I can remember it. One of them, I said, is to develop, and I've forgotten the expression I normally use, but to perfect your own righteousness. I said that. That your own godly character. You understand? What do I mean by that? And other than that, to multiply resources, that's one, we'll put that one at the bottom. Of course, to earn an income, that's also part of it. So we have like six or seven. But the one I want to remind us of is one in which I said that, remember the scripture I quote, that he said concerning Satan, by the multitude of your merchandise, you have filled the midst of thee with cruelty. So, or with wickedness. That what God does also is that by the multitude of our dealings, you remember that? Because it is when you are doing many dealings, people will forget money with you. And then, you will steal it. And they say, me, I won't steal it. It doesn't apply to you. For those it applies to, you will steal it. And don't be angry with yourself. God wanted you to know that you're a thief. Do you follow my point? Yeah, you did not know before. You know why? Because you were in church. Most of your dealing was in church. Most of the money you had to count was offering money. And you feared God too much to take his money. Some people come to church anyway. They don't look, they still offering money. No, people still offering money in church. Where there are people who come to church, join the ushering unit. But a lot of good people, they wouldn't do that because they feel like it's what? God's money. But God knows their heart. They don't know their heart. God knows their heart. Their heart is deceitful. Their heart has deceived them to think they are okay. Meanwhile, they have a stealing spirit inside there. So that's one reason. God said, look, go and do business. Go to the market. Go and do. People will forget their money with you. Let me say something again. We said it last time, all right? Anytime God commands, don't do something. It is because the opposite is going to come to you naturally and with temptations. For example, you are doing business. See, let me be honest with you. When you see anybody doing business, feel sorry for the person. Business is hard. Look, I want to see a man, if I mention the name, all right? All of us say, we're talking. He asked after my wife and all of that. We're very big man, all right? You would look at a very successful businessman. And I mentioned something to him. Okay, is that what your wife doing now? I said, what about this? I said, no, she doesn't do that anymore. Why? I explained to him. He said, what does she do now? And I told him. And I said, how many people are patronizing that? You know? And I said, I told him that. He said, can she pay staff? This is the kind of question they were asking. With that number, can she pay staff? Are you sure? You know, his head was, like they say, was working like clock. Calculating. He now made a statement. He said, business is so hard. He said, people will owe you. This is a man that has a lot of grace. Have you not seen the results in his life? You all know him. Because you see the positive side, they see the challenges. That's why God had to tell you, one, thou shalt not steal. Two, unjust weights, unjust balances, they are an abomination to the Lord. Do you know why? As a business person, the time will come. After you have seen all the taxes, you've seen all the harassment on the road, you've seen all of this, to transport your fuel to your filling station, and everybody around is now selling at 910 naira a liter. If you sell at 910 naira a liter, you will barely eat. You will barely eat. But you can't sell at 920 because the next filling station is 910. The one after is 905. The other one, 910. You have to compete. What's the next thing they will tell you? Oga, adjust your liter small. It's not much now, you know. Instead of 1 liter, give them 0.95. And you will do small calculation. You'll be comfortable. That's the temptation of life. Let me tell you, God knew it was coming. That's why he gave you scripture. That's an unjust balance. The Lord said, see, what should you do? Put your price. We are flexible in Nigeria. What do you think you finally break? You say, put at 9:15. But nobody will come. Then put at 9:10. But I won't make money. Then put at 9:15. But nobody will come. He said, but then put at 9:10. God said, these are your two options. But as I leave, if you alter that gauge, I will burn your station. That's God will tell you. So you know you are my son. See that guy next door? He's an Ogboni man. He's going to go to hellfire. It doesn't concern me. I've preached the gospel to him. He has refused. See that one down the road? He's a drug dealer. Don't mind him. He's not making any money. He's just laundering. And you know. And let me tell you, a lot of businesses, I know friends who are doing some businesses that they can't make it. Do you know why? Their opponents, their competitors are money launderers. Some of them are laundering drug money. All of them are in the same business. To be able to sell this and make profit, and to sell this and make a decent profit is 1,000 naira. His colleagues are selling at 900. You're like, why didn't you do 900? He'll give you his cost. That way I'll be wiped out in 1 year. Why these guys are doing 900? Say, I can't tell you. Do you get the point I'm making? That is how difficult business can be. But in the midst of it, God says, thou shalt not steal. An unjust weight, an unjust balance is an abomination to the Lord. To be a Christian businessman, it requires what? Grace. See, you have to pray until God gives you secret hidden wisdom. Yeah, it's available. You will have to pray until God will give you a secret and hidden wisdom. And for your information, that's the reason why he left you there. That's why I allowed that pressure on you. That don't use, it's called lighting your own fire. Don't use lighting your own fire to solve your problem. If you say to the Lord, well, if the business will perish, let it perish. But I will not disobey you. I will not dishonor you. I will not mess your name. I will not do that which is in opposition to with the will of God. Many times, that's when you get that wisdom. You first have to be committed to the Lord in such a manner that even if the business dies, you will go and give thanks. It has died. I did the best I could. I put in my best. I put in my energy. But Lord, the only way to sustain it, I break either this law or break that law. And I'm not willing to do it. Sometimes just before he dies, God will give you one wisdom. Sometimes he will let you die. But he will file, now listen to this, he will file the CAC registration certificate of that business in heaven as a mark of righteousness. Elijah, you know what we're talking about? He will say, this is an overcomer. He will sit with me on my throne. I will give him a name. I will give him a white stone with a name that nobody knows apart from the person that bears that I've given that name to. But that dead business will be a stamp and be a sign. They will frame it, a testimony in heaven that by faith they lost businesses. People think faith only gives you. No. By faith, they were sown asunder. Is that not what the Bible says? People died by faith. No, many people think that, if I've heard it before, you know, hey, Shadrach, Meshach, and their faith. I said, bro, leave them, leave that thing. Don't, just leave that thing. Some people, by faith, they walked into that fire and died. Don't think faith only saves. Sometimes the angel will come and say, guys, let me escort you into the fire. From there, we'll go to heaven. Was that not what happened to the martyrs? In the early church, you heard the story of Polycarp, didn't you? The disciples of John the Beloved, one of the disciples, when he was betrayed, when they finally caught him. The people that, from the story we heard, the people that came to arrest him, he was waiting for them. He had said his prayers. When they came, he followed them willingly. I think he even told them to give him time to finish his prayer. Then he followed them. And then when he was one that said that, when they told him to deny the Lord, he said, ah, all these years I've served him. He has never done me any wrong. From what I, of course, these are stories we read. They tied, of course, they set the sticks and all of that. He said there was no need to tie him to the stick. He said there was no need. Then why they tie him? He said, no, there's no need. He stood there and they burnt him. Jesus himself told us it will happen. He said, I will give them more prophets. Many they will persecute. Many they will kill. What is the reason? He said, I want to fill up their cup of judgment. God sent his prophet to their midst that the prophet might be killed. So please, don't think faith just means that if I stand, I won't die in the fire. Sometimes faith will help you stand properly inside the fire. The angel that quenched the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will escort you out of this body into the next life, while those on earth will watch your earthly body burnt. See, we have to balance this gospel. People think by faith and quench the fire. But there are businesses that the only reason why they will die in your hands is by faith. What do you mean by faith? I obeyed divine instructions till the last moment. And there was no help to save that. So I closed it. But I'm telling you, God files that certificate in heaven and says, that's a mark of a saint. That's a mark of righteousness. That's a testimony to those who truly believe. Remember we talked about the called, the chosen, and what? The faithful. Said that's a sign of faithfulness. We mustn't forget these things. So why do we do business, I was saying? So you go to the market, the precious come, the precious will always come. Suddenly, they say, this one, it doesn't, like businessmen with their, you know, they move market. You know what that means? So next thing, you're supposed to be selling Sony. That your O is not complete. Or the son, your own son is spelled with double N. And the second N is very narrow. All kinds of ways just to make it. And they found out that those cheap, low quality things make more money. Because they can put a significant markup. Why people will still buy. But the good quality ones, if you put a significant markup to make you do well in business, it becomes too expensive for the average person. When you go and put a name they don't know, they don't buy. So next thing you know, now this, what am I trying to say? I'm not trying to teach all the Rukuruku method. Once you start joining them, that's where God is what's going to. You get him and say, God, have you seen? That's what he said. Have you seen now that you have joined them? How did he say it again? He said, they do not love their lives even when faced with death. You are just faced with loss of money. Look at how you are behaving. What if I will not face you with death? You will deny the Lord. Now listen to this. Let's go back to David. When you start making excuses, you're lost. You know, this is the problem. You don't understand. Oh, okay, pastor, it's because you are not doing... You know, you start telling stories. But God has shown you now that between you and the neighbors in the market, there is no difference. Your gospel has not changed your life. You thought it had because you could groan in church. You've been praying. In fact, again, small as I say, you know, when I listen to things and they excite me, I can't help but just sit here. As I was driving here today, I was listening to Derek Prince teach on one particular podcast. He was talking about some of these fruits of the Spirit, add to your faith, virtue, and all of that. There was something he said that made me, I started laughing in the car. I was driving my kids. I started laughing. He said, a lot of women, he was talking about housewives, something, he was teaching me anything, I'll go to housewives. That godly housewives are needed. He said, if you're a housewife and your husband is not a believer, he said, some of them, sorry, I'm laughing. He said, a lot of Christians, he said, they start praying, is it bad? He said, no. He said, they start praying, they start reading Christian literature. He said, they start listening to messages. He said, many of them listen to Derek Prince. That's not what's making me laugh. What's making me laugh is that, he said, if you're a housewife and you do it like that, and your husband does not believe, he will never believe. He said, will never believe. He said, I know, he said, I like the fact that you're listening to me. He said, but I don't think your husband will like that idea. He said, what he wants to see is a life transformed by what you are listening to. He said, he doesn't want to hear. See, this is your praying, it's not going to impress him. This is your studying scripture, it's not going to impress him. He said, this is your listening to messages, he comes into his home bedroom. One other man is talking all the time to his wife. He said, he's not going to like it. He said, but he wants to see the life transformed. He wants to see the way you do things. Like he gave, he said, if he's cooking, you cook better. If he's taking care of the children, you do better. If he's talking, your talk is better. He said, you're becoming more excellent in everything that you do. He said, he will ask, where is this coming from? Then you present, oh, it's what Jesus has done in my life. He said, then he can be converted. So, but when you fill his life with religious activities, the guy is going to get hardened. He'll become angry with your gospel. But if he saw the change in the life before he sees all these activities, what am I talking about? That's what we are talking about. You're in the market. There's no change in your activity. That's what God is just trying to see. He's not, oh, please, I hope you understand how God is. He's not angry. He came to Adam. Where are you? Now, it's a simple question. Did he know where Adam was?
Yes.
No, let's answer. Did he know where Adam was?
Yes.
So why is he asking? Sorry, Lord, I'm not insulting. I'm just talking to my book. Why is he asking such a foolish question? Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
Because he wanted Adam to know. He wanted Adam to open his mouth and confess. He wanted Adam to realize where he had degenerated to. He wanted Adam to say, I am in trouble. He could have jumped and said, whoosh, I catch you. But that wouldn't have worked. There is Adam, where are you? That should have started the confession of sin. Not blaming people. Which a lot of us do. Doing business in Nigeria. Oh, you heard the man who I said, now, he said business is hard. But it's the same person I told you, I saw once. We went to vote. So those days, voting has changed now. Those days you accredit and go and wait. Then you come and vote. So during that waiting period, some will choose to go home. Some will choose if they are living nearby. But a lot of us who live a bit far away from the polling unit, we just stayed behind. So we sat near each other. So after we just finished exchanging pleasantries, he brought out the book to read. And I looked at the book. I said, sir, you have this book? He said, yes, I do. He said, I brought it to read to keep myself busy. He said, you know, I read things like this once in a while. Listen to what he said. He said, just to keep checking whether I'm still serving God or I've begun to serve myself. That's the book, Business by the Book by Larry Bucket. He said, I just do that once in a while. He said, I need to keep, now listen to what he said. I need to keep checking whether I am still serving God or I have begun to serve myself. The same person came and said, it is hard. What does that mean? No matter how hard it is, I must not break the laws of God. And I'm talking about when you do. That's what I'm talking about. When you do, God is saying, I'm not angry. And you have to understand the way the Lord is. First, disobedience doesn't anger him much. Let me say that again. God doesn't get angry much with first disobedience. He doesn't. You know, who knows why? He's mindful that we are but flesh. That's what David said. He's mindful. He said, is it them? They will disobey. Why do you think he gave them sacrifices? If the disobedience was going to come. But for those who do not know, the difference between sin unto death and sin that is not unto death, it is when disobedience has happened. Are you getting my point? And then correction is sent and you still don't repent. Then you activate his anger. First disobedience is not a problem. We're talking about this market thing now. You've done business for a year. He won't talk for a year. He let you do it well. Then when you take a break in Christmas, you say, come and sit down. You now go to Boko. You know Boko? Who knows what happens in Boko? Brogbele, God will bless you. You now go and meet Brogbele for retreat. The first day, you now start preaching. Talk about the flesh that did not die this year. They just know it's you they are talking about. You just know it is you he's talking about. He's talking about businessmen. The kind of thing. You just know it is you. You know God, the way God will do it. God will just carry your whole life, put it in his spirit, and he'll be using you. He will even use your name as an example. Assuming now that your name is, give me a name. Fred, okay, this is same Fred, okay. Poor Fred, sorry, if your name is Fred, it's not you. We're just talking. For example, your name is Fred, and you are Fred. And the Lord now puts you in a market. And he itemizes for you everything you have done wrong the year. That's how God does it. Like I told you, do you know that whole year, he wasn't angry. He was keeping you. In fact, the time they broke into some shops, your own was not broken into. There was a fire that came. Smoke just managed to enter your own. Everybody was amazed. Your business was not touched. You just opened the window and allowed the smoke out. And fire didn't burn your own. So God was taking good care of you. You know what he's saying? We'll talk in December. So you, of course, you will now, maybe your wife will now come and say, I saw this flyer. They are doing one retreat. I'm sure the Lord will speak to us. So you pack. And you go all the way to where? To Boko. God has come to deliver you to his servant. First day, he will finish you with correction. Next day, you don't want to come and your wife will drag you. So, let's go now. You go there again. He'll continue. Hey. So, like he said, we're talking about our brother Fred. He will finish you with correction. Instruction with the word of God. And he'll tell you why your flesh must die. Why you must obey God. And he'll give you the instruction. Then God will let you come back home. And let me tell you, this always happens. Then you now go, it's your friend's. Your friend had his wife delivered. Also a business person. So you now go there. They will now sit around the table. They are eating. Then they will now start telling you the reasons why things have to be the way they are. We can't do it like that now. If you said to sell the original, you know what's going to happen? If your gauge is exactly 1 liter for 1 liter, you know what's going to happen? You know what they will do? It's Satan. Satan has seen the correction the Lord gave you. And his name is accuser, opposer. He has to oppose it. And God knew what was going to happen. So God lets them talk you into refusing to repent. Then that evening he gets home. You now call your wife to talk. And the angels have come with their calamus. You know what they call calamus? That's Greek word for pen. They've come with their calamus and their plates to record what you will say. Say, now there are two things you could say. Sweetheart. One way in Buku, when Brock Billy was preaching, the word of God was entering my heart. I just realized that the way I've been doing business is not good. This new year, things may be rough a bit too. We just have to trust God. Maybe we change the line of business. I have to make adjustments. That's the right thing. That's what you are supposed to say. And then God will go to heaven and prepare your extra blessing for righteousness. It may not be just cash. You understand? Or what some people will do. So I don't know why you're hearing Brock Billy. I know somebody reported me to him. I know. You know, I know some people, that's how some of your friends are. That's how they are. Did you tell Madam Ngozi these things? No, I just tell him once in a while. She must be the one. You know, her husband was trained by that man that was trained, you know. I suspect they are the ones that told him. But he doesn't understand. He doesn't know what we are going through. This is Nigeria. That's one of the satanic talks. This is Nigeria. That is when, listen to me, you now activate divine judgment. That whole year, God suspended it because the full payment for the people of God for evil or iniquity is adequate repentance. The Bible said that will be the full payment. But this one now, I have corrected him. The Bible now calls, next year is going back to business. To do what the Bible calls the sin unto death. What is the sin unto death? Is the one for which you have been corrected and you refuse to take correction. What is the sin unto death? The one for which you have been corrected and you refuse instruction. Listen, let me explain to you. Correction is not nice. That you feel bad when you are being told is good, is normal. But what do you do afterwards? What do you do? See, let me tell you, if you're a Christian, let me tell you something God has taught me over time. Even if you bring an issue and you're wrong, do you get? And you let me know that this thing you're doing is wrong. And I'm convinced you're wrong. One of the instructions I've had from the Lord is, don't react, don't get angry. Just hear it and go. You don't have to prove anything to anybody. But you know what? I always check, are you really right? Is there an element of truth in it? You know why I do that? Because I've realized those who are destroyed were also corrected at a point in time and they refused it. I told a man walk to me. What is a genuine preacher? It's not a genuine prophet, I don't know. Those are the days of Kingdom World. On the other side, where we used to be there. One day I was there and he walked in, he said that he's a prophet. That the Lord spoke to him about me. So I said, okay. So he wants to give me a message from the Lord. He said, the Lord said you are trying. Now, is that good or bad?
Encouragement.
It's encouragement. He now said that, all right. He said, but the Lord said that I'm not meeting up. He said, you are trying, we are not meeting up. He was looking at me like this. And I told myself, if you laugh, God will punish you. So just be quiet and listen. You know what? After he left, I went to check. Am I meeting up? I said, he hasn't said anything bad. Did he say anything bad? He said, I was trying. Was I not encouraging?
He
said, I'm not meeting up. Was I meeting up really? Only the Lord will know. So you know what I did? I tried to increase a little bit just in case the Lord will be pleased. I don't know whether you're getting my point. I didn't do anything different. He didn't tell me to go and do something. He didn't say, okay, go and start a new church. Go, travel to another city. No. He said, you are not what?
Meeting up.
So, okay, no problem. Maybe I was preaching 1 hour before. I added 15 minutes. That kind of thing. Yeah. You know, you preach some more, you know, right? Just because I don't want it to be that they sent correction and I just disregarded it. I'm telling you again, that's when God gets angry. The first time you disobey him, no, he's too patient. In fact, there's no anger, I'm telling you, at all. If anything, he's laughing. He's my children, that's what it be. You just laugh. And I say, yeah, go and correct him. The good thing is that he even sends that correction again and again. Like the Bible says, until there's no remedy. When he wants to reject correction again and again, it gets to a point in which there's no remedy. I'm talking about the wrong spirits that we have. That's why I went to that business issue. That's how God exposes it. God will say, ha, my son needs to know. So let him go and fully manifest. You know, if you do one quickly and you are corrected and you withdraw, what will you say? Who can tell you? What will you say? It's a mistake. So God left David. And he didn't say anything. If Nathan had come immediately, David would be on his knees repenting. God said, no. He took Bathsheba. The woman went back home. The spirits were not back to help him rearrange. So the guy said, nobody know. Then one day, the woman sent him a message. Can I see my lord, the king?
Who are you?
Please tell my lord that I need to see him. Some things are missing in the house. So the boys look and say, is that not?
Yeah.
And they told David, David knew there was trouble. Oga, I'm pregnant. I know my husband has been in battle since before I came to see you. David said, all right. You know the rest of the story. Let me not bore you with the rest of the story. David arranged immediate cover up. Get the man to come in. Get him to come in. Get him to go home. Because if he goes home, I know what he will do. The spirit said, oh boy, you are not going home. The guy, David got him drunk. He didn't go home. David was getting desperate. Finally, Uriah was too zealous. He refused to go home. He said, how can my brethren be at battle? The ark of the Lord, where is it? And then, do you think I'm like King David? He refused. He said, my commander is at war. I can't go home. Again, it was the Lord. You know the rest of the story, don't you? David now plotted to have him killed. God said, don't worry. I know what I'm doing. David's one of the most important people to me in this story of redemption. I can't let him die with an impure spirit. Yeah. You knew what he was doing. After Uriah had died, you know the story. Let me not bore you with the details. After Uriah had died, many people may not know that thing took a long time. The woman delivered. You know, David married her. The woman delivered. The child was still little. Then Nathan now came in. You know what he's saying? You know, the way it is in movies. As they're going, the doors open. Wham! David knew there was trouble. Of course, Nathan didn't come immediately. You know the story now. For those who don't know, go and read in your Bible. Nathan got there, started telling a story to activate that arrogant, righteous spirit of David. To activate it. A man, in this, what will I not see in Israel? David, what did you see? And one man, he had a large flock, a rich man. And then he had a guest. What was the guest? He's lost. Came up one night. And then he went and took the only goat this man had and had it killed for his guest. Hey, David, in this, no. This cannot hold in this Israel. No. He was making a lot of noise. Who's the man? He said, the man is here. You came with him. Very good. Bring him in. He said, no, my Lord. He got here before me. He got here before you? Okay, let him summon him. Summon him in. No, sir. I mean, he got into this room before me. I'm just being dramatic. He said, you are the man. Nathan, please stop that joke. Goat? Come on, you know me. I don't even like goat food meat. You know? Said, thus says the Lord. You know, that thing scares me. I don't know about you. It scares me. That the Lord will say, but I told you. Then he says, thus says the Lord. They began to analyze his sin. And you know what he told him? He said, what's the problem? You were small. I made you king. I gave you your master's house. And if that was not enough, I would have given you so much more. What did Uriah have? At that point in time, now, you know what you don't realize? David didn't know how bad it was until God painted that picture. That's why I'm telling this story like this. Until that time, David thought he was good. God showed him how more wicked than the man he wanted to judge he was. The man he wanted to judge is more righteous than you. It's ordinary goat we're talking about. And he didn't kill the owner of the goat. You took the wife and then you killed the man. See, you don't understand. I can imagine David was just seeing David. Do you get my point? David was seeing himself spiritually now on the floor, dirty. You know, it looked like, God, is this how bad I am? Because a man like that, David would never have allowed into his own chambers. If a man behaved that way, David would have judged him harshly. I'm just imagining, David was just looking at himself like, what? Is this? You see, this, when I say the heart is deceitful, that was when the deceit in the heart was lifted. For the first time, David saw how wicked he was. He did not believe he was capable of such wickedness. That's why I laugh at people who every day they sit online. What kind of country are we living in? These politicians, you know, God is laughing at them. See, these ones, they are what? See, there's one of your guys. I feel like telling him, he's a senior bro. That guy, calm down. He's always angry. Somebody forwarded a video of him, which he preached recently to me last week. He said, why is this brother this angry? And your anger is not for righteousness. It's a political anger. As long as we are doing like this, we want that I'm angry with the Nigerian populace. They want good government, they will get it. They are just tolerating nonsense. Talk. I just look at it. I said, okay, last time, please, I'm not angry with anybody. You know me. I hope you do. I feel like sensei, bro. He said, we'll change these leaders. Election is coming right now. You guys should be. He was talking. I said, these are how you campaigned last time. You talked and shouted and got angry. I said, 95% of people you had us vote for on the platform of Labour Party, where are they now? They're in APC and PDP. Yes, at state level. No, they just check who's in power. I said, bro, you are doing all this shout for us to go back to the same pool to fish for another fish of the same species. I felt, I said, Oga, relax. This anger is not the way the righteousness of God is. I'm not saying things that are not happening that you should be angry over. There are, but not this way. The real anger you should have is against the unrighteousness in the heart of the average person on the road. Like I said just now, in Nigeria, see, if you can't tackle political corruption until you handle civil service corruption and banking corruption. Quote me. They know. There's not even this thing. I mean, they know now. So I tell my bro, no need to be angry. We politicians, be angry that we, the preachers, we have not preached enough of the truth. Be angry that these politicians bring money for Thanksgiving and we collect. Be angry that once you're a banker, we'll promote you in church and make you an associate pastor. Yeah, I know churches that make it a rule. That's why you should be angry. I'm talking about David. David did not know how bad David was until that day. When he was taking the woman, he thought it was just small flesh. When he was arranging, he said it was for the kingdom's sake. You know, it was the kingdom. It was for the kingdom. Because you see, if Uriah opens up now and he talks and the throne is undermined, remember, I'm the light of Israel. It's for the sake of the kingdom we are doing all this telling of lies. I've seen preachers say it. They say we like money too much. It's not for the kingdom. And meanwhile, later when I see the way the man was collecting money, I said, this cannot be for the kingdom. It couldn't be for the kingdom because the way he was going about it, it's not. But he was saying, it's for the kingdom. We go on TV, all this money, we beg for money, lie, do everything. We say it's for the kingdom. Why was David killing Uriah? In case you do not know, it was for the kingdom. The kingdom of Israel had to stand. No, you know, Yosef, check him now. If the throne was undermined and Joab revolted and Abishai went with him, and the children of Saul will have come back, and there will have been civil war just because of Uriah. So let's kill Uriah for the king. for the sake of the kingdom. It was justifying everything until Nathan came. And I'm saying to you, God says, I will expose you. Now, this is a prophetic word of God. I will expose you to you before the time of judgment. Notice what I have said. I will expose you to you. Now, there are two levels of exposing. I told you. First, there's a private one in which God starts telling you, David, you've taken the first wife now. Okay, I understand the circumstances. Michael, it didn't work out. The son of a daughter of Saul. So in the interim, you married another wife. Then you married a second one. David, this is number three. Is it not too much? Remember when he came to Lekki? He collected Michael back, remember? When he finally mounted the throne, he collected Michael back. God said, is it not too much? Then the kings donated, the neighboring kings gave him concubines. He collected. God said, David, easy now. Now that's the first level of correction. This is one in which, listen, you start reacting badly to things. God is exposing you to you. Like I said, he's not angry yet when he starts correcting you. But don't let's get to the level of David. Because at that time, merely saying I'm sorry doesn't drive out the spirit. At that time, Absalom will have to die. At that time, Amnon will misbehave. There will be rebellion in the household. You will lose the throne for a short period. Men will insult you on the road. Don't let's get to that point. That's what the Lord is saying. Because people take advantage, they think that his mercy means there's no problem. No. Brethren, his mercy means where he's going, he will still get there. He will still drag you with him. If he has to drag you with your skin peeling on the road, he will drag you there. But that skin will peel. Pain will enter your body. Must we go that way? That's what he's saying. Must we go that way? Why can't we repent first? I'm going to make your friend do something very soon and check whether you are jealous. And you will know whether you are jealous or not. I will point to you that you are jealous. When he called you and told you, you were jealous. You did not celebrate with him. I will let you know. You think you are honest? Because you have never been under pressure. Many of the people you call dishonest, they are under the kind of pressure you have not experienced. That is not to justify dishonesty. But just to let you know that you are not as honest as you think. But I will expose you to you. And you know what? It's very important you pray that prayer. And as we're closing today, we are going to pray that prayer. We are going to say to the Lord, is there any hurtful thing inside me? It's an important prayer. No matter how good you feel, you have to ask, Lord, is there any hurtful thing inside? See, I've prayed prayer before that, Lord, whatever I'm doing that is not pleasing to you, let me know. And the answer, you know, he didn't even wait for me to get home. On the spot, he answered. And people say they fall under the power. I fell under the power of an answer. I collapsed instantly into my chair. Lord, are you serious about that? Yeah. Hey, God answers prayers. If you ask him to correct you, he will. But just know, many times it's not the areas you like. I like the way the prophet Ken Hagin told us. When God brought correction to him, he was shocked. Let me explain something again. This gospel, Elder John, that we preach sometimes to make it look like God is just looking for how to give us extra food and extra sweet things, is not right, though. God has a purpose. You are part of his purpose. You have a particular role to play, and he will drag you into it whichever way he has to. Young pastor Ken Hagin was. He had labored hard for the gospel. He was pastoring the best church he had ever pastored in his life. Money was good, at least regular income. A good personage. He said, but he was feeling uncomfortable. And he went and prayed and prayed and prayed. Took time out to pray. After a few days of praying, the voice of the Lord came to him. I never called you to be a pastor to begin with. That comfortable life was yanked away from under him in an instant. He had to resign from the church to continue a life of irregular income. But at least we are talking about him today, having blessed thousands worldwide. A number of our brethren have gone today now for the graduation. You know, their Bible school is just across there. You know that. Today is their graduation. A number of our brethren have gone there because he agreed to let go. Because when he prayed, the Lord answered. Demon Shakiran was losing heavily in business. He went to pray, God help me. God said, no, that business was never yours. Why did you start it? I thought it was a good business. He said, I never gave you to that kind of business. He said, Lord, I beg, help me out, deliver me. He said, don't worry. But God collected it. He collected it from him. Many people have chosen things that God did not send him into, and he will collect it. But let me tell you the truth. You have to ask him. Yield yourself. Say, Lord, how did he say it again? I want to do this scripture together. Psalm 139. From verse 23, are you there? Let's read together. I want to let's go. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there's any hurtful way in me. And lead me in the everlasting way. Now that's an important prayer. We are concluding this set of teachings on that note that everybody, you have any hurtful spirit, any wrong spirit. Remember he said, and the Lord separated the light from the darkness. Paul said, purge yourself of all defilement of flesh and spirit. I tell this story all the time of Ben Carson. You see, I was saying to you earlier that God will let something happen to let you know the direction your life is going because of the spirit that you have. God will let, he will let you know. Things will happen in life. The idea, don't be too, I'm not saying you shouldn't be angry, be displeased with yourself, but like, just know that it's a sign. God has just exposed a direction. And that direction is being pushed by a spirit. And that spirit has to be removed deliberately. Ben Carson said, that's what I'm telling his story. When Paul talked about the root of bitterness, let me explain. How many people here ever farmed? Maybe farming. So you never even farmed before. You are still a farmer, sir. Okay, yes, I remember. I saw the farm in your house. Okay, that is true. I forgot. Okay. You know, Adam, your wife actually, her hand is up at the back. Is it a true hand or a identifying hand? Okay. Okay, I don't even know what this is. They call spear grass. That thing is very sharp.
Yes.
It's sharp on top, it's sharp at the side.
Yes.
We actually used to cut ourselves when we were secondary. You know, children, we used to do funny things. You just slice yourself to see whether it will slice. No, kids, I don't know. Their children are alive and they are not dead. It's the grace of God. You know, children do things that if an adult does, God will kill the adult. See, you have no respect for life. One day, I asked myself, what will happen if I don't lock the door of the car? I was a child. So, we're about to take off, my dad and I. And I deliberately, I closed it. I didn't finish closing it. I was just asking myself, what will happen? So, as my dad took off, the door swung open. People shouted, hey, the door is open, I did not know what happened. I was the one that let the door open. I just wanted to know what will happen. That children are alive is the grace of God. So that spare grass, eh? If you ever farm where there's plenty of spare grass, eh? First, have you seen what it does to yam?
Yes.
And cassava?
Yes.
It will run holes through them. It does worse than animal pests. It will just run its roots right through a tuber of yam. If you don't keep it in check, it will crisscross the tuber. You see it, I mean, reduce the value of your crop massively. Now, why am I talking about it? If you like, clear the whole field. It's looking nice. Till it is looking nice. That spare grass is stubborn with a capital S. The only way to handle this is to go to the root and dig the root. Thank God these days we have herbicides that can handle. What am I talking about? On the surface, they may look like there's no problem. But the root. The Bible says the root of bitterness. Once it is there, you think there's nothing. No. But when it grows up, springing up troubles people, and many are defiled. What's I'm talking about it? You know what happened to Ben Carson? Please, I keep on begging. Don't listen to the likes of Mazi, not our Mazi. What they do is they, whatever. For, now, please, you must understand something. That's how Satan works. Satan will never come say, I want to destroy you. He will tell you, I want to help you. It's for your own good. But he brings the root of bitterness. You listen to somebody, at the end, you're angry. It's called the root of bitterness. I tell you, when you're disobeying God, most times you feel justified. Ben Carson said, he didn't even know it was that bad. He was just an angry person. But he didn't know it was that bad. But you know, God allowed it to manifest. One day he had started beating, he was already hitting his mother. It was the first sign that God gave him. But his older brother Curtis was there. That one pounced on him and restrained him. That was when, as a Christian, that's when he should have gone to pray. Especially since he did not know he was doing it. And his mother got into an argument. He had faced his mother, and he was a big boy. He had brought his fist, he was literally already pounding his mother. But because his brother was there, he had the presence of mind. That one, of course, bigger than him, pounced on him. What is wrong with you? That's when he should have known that something is wrong. Bitterness. Next thing new, a friend just annoyed him small. He took a knife, bam, into the boy's stomach. What was God saying to him? I've been warning you. I've been warning you. See, your life is about to be over. Instantly, his life played in front of him. He saw that boy dying. He saw him being arrested. He saw him being tried. He saw himself being locked in prison for the rest of his life. He knew his life was over. The boy didn't die, of course. You know the story. Under the boy's shirt was a big belt. And the buckle of the belt caught the knife, and the knife broke. Such was the force. The knife broke. While we're talking about it, he ran home and went to pray and said, create in me, we're using the scriptures now, a new heart, O Lord, and renew a right spirit within me. That's why we read from Psalm 51. Every spirit is attracting something. A lot of people, their destiny is being, that destruction of destiny is being, and listen, please, let me get there again. Please forget all this rubbish that some groups, God gives some people influence. They want to use to propagate nonsense, the body of Christ. We are trying to correct them. I hope they listen to correction. Witches are not after you. I've told you. This is what is after your destiny. Witches cannot, they say, keep quiet. Don't tell anybody no. What God is doing in your life, they can't do anything. See, if you like, take a megaphone and announce, God has blessed me. God has blessed me. I got pregnant last week. There's nothing any witch can do. Satan is spreading that doctrine to the body of Christ now subtly. Want to make people suspicious of each other. Say, keep quiet, don't talk, don't talk. If you talk, what will happen? And please, these evil spirits are not as ignorant as you think. That's what they call familiar spirits. Yes, sir. They monitor, they know. Say, no, if you don't talk, they can't do anything. It's not true. And you have to know, maybe, you know, when people don't know some things here, in the realm of the spirit, there's no thought you have that's not allowed in the spirit.
Yes, sir.
Let me not sit on their matter. The matter I should tell you is that the spirit that is destroying destiny is what I'm talking about. Is this this buried root of bitterness? The Bible says it troubles me people, and many are thereby defiled. The negative spirits, we talked about them. How do you know they are there? It's just the works they produce. The works of the flesh. Didn't we see in the scripture? We read Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 the last time. Let's read it again. It's very important because when you find these things in you, brethren, go and pray. I don't know what other thing for you to do than go and get on your knees and pray. I'm telling you, take the scriptures with you. Pray, Father God, you said, see, I have the new spirit in Christ Jesus. This evil spirit will not defile me. How do you let, not a bad spirit, once you confess to the Lord. You know what he said? 1 John chapter 1 verse 9. How did he say it again? His faith, if you confess our sins, yes.
He's faithful and just.
And that's the word. When you confess what? Our sins. When you go to the Lord and say, Lord, see, this thing is wrong. This is what I'm doing because a wrong spirit is inside me. Paul said, I should cleanse myself of all defilement. How do I confess? I confess. Then I take the word of Christ and put it inside. It's called the washing of water. How? By the word. He said, if you do that, he is faithful and just to do what? To forgive all sins and do what? Cleanse of all unrighteousness. That's where I was going. He's the one that does the cleansing. Your own job is to confess. Confession is because I'm wrong means there's a standard of the word. So, with what the word is saying, I identify what I'm doing and I realize what it's coming from. Brethren, killing Uriah was not a mistake. Taking Uriah's wife was not a mistake. Nigeria is not the reason why you are disobeying God. It's the wrong spirit. Did I say Shobu somewhere? What did I say? Living in Nigeria. Please, there are statements you don't make. This Nigeria not happened to you. Nigeria has happened to you, that's where you were born. Nigeria has happened to you, that's why you are still here. You have an education. Who said Nigeria should not happen to you? I said, I thank God for how much Nigeria has happened to me. You got a law degree free of charge. Yes? What the federal government charge you? I got a medical degree free of charge. Yes? My children are in the universities now. Know how much I'm paying. It's nothing. University will ask me for a whole year's term. Can't fill my tank twice. Yeah, it can't fill my tank. What are they asking me for? What I paid university for a whole year on them. Each one of them. It can't fill my tank twice. It can't. No, I'm giving you a fact. One day I was telling an apostle here. I said, look, he laughed. He said, I pay my younger brother's school fees, half of that, under federal university. Well, it wasn't law he studied. This Nigeria should not happen to you. Ungrateful human beings. Nigeria should not happen to you. What have you contributed to the nation anyway? You should not happen to Nigeria. We don't want you. Did the American president not tell us, ask not what the country can do for you, but what you can do for the country? You that has never done anything for anybody, you said Nigeria should not happen to you. Please go and happen to Libya. That's where you belong. Come on, disrupt our system here. Ungrateful creature. And I've told you the Edomite spirit, God is angry against the Edomite spirit every day. What is the Edomite spirit? Somebody who does not regard the gift that God has given him. Say, I'm about to die. What is this inheritance now? I mean, let me sell it for lantern porridge. God said, such people, they are people against whom I have indignation every time. Galatians chapter 5. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, always disagreeing with everything. You know, some people are very disagreeable. If federal government says they want to construct a road, they calculate the amount of money they're spending. How is a useless this thing? Show you how much universities don't have, how much clinic, they abuse everybody. The federal government say, I'm not constructing a road again. This is the problem with Nigeria. If you go to America now, they'll be constructing a road every day, by which if... Do I need to tell you that most people around you have a negative spirit? they always disagreeing with a very disagreeable. They don't contribute faith. See, you have an assignment to contribute faith into your society. You have an assignment to do what? To contribute faith to the society. I don't have time to teach about that now. Envy, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like this, of which I forewarned you, just as I have forewarned you before, that is, I have forewarned you, that those who practice such will not inherit the kingdom of God. Let me just read this so I can conclude with this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Let me just stop reading here. I just wanted to read that because it's a sign of where you are making progress in life. We are seeing these things begin to develop in you. But our teaching for today is emphasizing the negative things that we must get rid of. If you look into your life and any of these things are playing out, don't make excuses. It's not the country. It's not your neighbor. It's not even the kind of wife you married. Do you follow my point?
Yes, sir.
If it's not the reason why Adam disobeyed, because we know Eve was deceived. Adam was not deceived. Don't give Eve as an excuse. The results are very clear when you follow sinful nature. New Living Translation says, sexual immorality, lustful pleasures, outbursts of anger. I'm just putting a few there. Selfish ambition, division, stuff like that. I said, see, anytime you see it, don't make excuses. You hear what I said? What do you do? You go and pray. Yeah. You go to the Lord. Confession. You go and pray. The story of Ben Carson so resonates with me. The man went and knelt down. He just saw his life. Some other people will say, well, I told that guy not to try me. You know, my father left when I was young. You know, I saw one, was it a movie? Oh, yeah, the other day. And there was this one guy inside the movie. He was running a racket, taking girls into prostitution and all of that. So there was this FBI agent that was trying to track a serial killer down. So she ran into that guy and she had to discipline him, you know, like with force, you know, beat, you know, stuff like that. So they got into talking. But she didn't really care much about him. He's a pimp, you know, he's a racketeer. That I'm looking for a killer. The guy was not a killer, but was a bad guy. So as she was leaving, the guy was now saying something like, trying to make excuse for his life. Because, of course, the FBI agent, the woman, didn't think much of a human being that he is, that he didn't think much of him. And like, do you know, you know what I saw? No, okay, she had told him that, is it because of childhood abuse you suffer that you're behaving like a criminal like this? He said, don't worry, I was not abused. But let me tell you what happened. As a little boy, I saw my father put a gun to his head and pull the trigger at the age of 6. So imagine the impression that would make on a little child. The lady looked at him. He said, my mother and father, something like that, parked their car in the garage, put on the engine, smoked themselves to death. Today I'm an FBI agent. Get up, my friend, and take responsibility. Do you get the point?
Yes,
what nonsense are you telling me? What abuse did you suffer that we didn't suffer more than? Today, I'm a law enforcement officer. You're a bloody criminal. You are giving the father, your father committed suicide as an excuse. I've seen people do it before. Anything. They want to blame their home, blame their parents. I said, are you the worst human being? Mary Magdalene was coming from somewhere. She was delivered and saved the Lord. Should we talk about Ruth? Do we know how Ruth got into prostitution? Maybe she was trafficking. We don't know. But when she saw salvation, she ran for it. Did I say Ruth?
Yes, sir.
Sorry. Thank you very much. Rahab. Do you know how Rahab got into prostitution? When she saw deliverance, she ran for it. Stop making excuses. That's what God is saying. Once you see the deeds of the flesh in your life, there's a spirit that is causing. That's the point I'm making. Especially when you are, you know, you're not the one trying to do it. The thing just keeps, there's a spirit. And that's what I was saying. It's not this witchcraft people can't do you anything. Forget what people are trying to teach us now. Now they want to do is magnify, you know. I told you, when I see preachers sometimes magnifying demons, I say, where in your Bible did you see this kind of thing? And so you say, you saw an evil spirit. Are you the first? Where did you see Paul? Paul. We'll be taking glory in something like, you know, when I got there, I saw the demons, they had two heads. So? Or God, sin of demons. Do you have the same effect in ministry as Peter and Paul had? Where did you see them describing demons that they saw? Not making it like it's a great thing that you are very spiritual. Brethren, let's relax. You know why I'm saying so? Those are not the problems we have. And you see people say, I perceive your auntie is a witch. So, see, there's nobody in Africa whose relative is not a witch of some sort. Do you get my point? After they worship idols in your village, so must have it. You know Brother Gbile we are talking about now? Brother Gbile we are just talking about. When people be talking sometimes, just what's wrong with people? His father was a Babalawo. Your own is just your great uncle. His own father. His elder brother had been taken to the Fa people for training. They didn't take him because he went to church and was a stubborn person. You get what I'm saying? So why you make it look like you are the first family where they are worshiping something? Not carrying your bad habit. You see, what is killing you is what we are talking about. And what are we saying? It has to get out. What did we say? It has to get out. It has to get out. And how you know it is there is by the words they produce. And how you cleanse them is by confession to the Lord and prayer. And he said, he will cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Listen, people of God, spirits may be defiled. A lot of people are going around with defiled spirits. And if you don't cure it now, it's going to curb where your destiny will get to. That's what I'm saying. It will bring evil into your life. You will not be able to make the right decisions. God has blessed you already. He has put the Spirit of Christ in you. It's all these other things that Satan, the flesh, has kept there that's going to prevent you from fully manifesting. Please don't worry about witches and wizards. They can't do anything to you. It's this wrong spirit that we keep in ourselves. Spirits of bitterness, anger. Like I told you, Ben Carson, I just guess where his own came from. He's, you know, complaining, maybe. Yeah, maybe his mother complained, I don't know. But his father did them bad. His father defrauded his mother because he was a bigamist. Mother did not know. He married his mother when she was a little girl, like 16 or so. Before she was 20, she was divorced. You can't call it divorce, actually. But this young woman had become a young single mother of two boys. That can bring pain into the heart of little boys. It can. But you know, Ben Carson will say, he looks back and he was thankful his father left. He said, because if the father had stayed with them, he would have amounted to nothing. You know why? He said his father was a guy, you know, guy. What mattered to the guy was big shoes, big, you know, afro hair, shining things, you know, the bling. Say they will have followed him into such a path. So God drove him out of their lives early. The mother suffered, had to be working several jobs to put food on the table. But at the end of the day, good came out of their lives. But one thing that experience left behind was his spirit of bitterness and anger. God allowed him to see it early, and he dug it out of his heart. In the place of prayer, he confessed the thing out of his life. Let's bow down our heads. And let's take a moment to pray. Remember that scripture we read? If there is anything that's hurtful in me, try me, O Lord, and know my heart. And I want anybody, because as I was preaching, you were noticing things. Before you were giving excuses, but now you know that, no, I can't give any excuse. Lie.
I cannot give any excuse. I cannot give any excuse. You know, come and finish this prayer for us. I want you to pray for us.
In Jesus' name, Father, we thank you because when you want to help a man, you will send him your word. You have sent us your word today, and we are praying. We are asking in unison, search us, O God, each and every one of us. Know our hearts, the deepest recesses of our hearts. Try us. Know our anxieties. Know those hurtful ways in us. Show them to us. May we not live and continue to live in self-deception. Bring to the fore, to our clear knowledge, those anxieties, those hurtful ways in us, those areas we have not trusted you. We have tried to light our own fires. Show them to us, O God. Show us those wicked ways in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Give us that grace, that humility of heart to take words like Hosea, your prophet, said. To take words and go come back to you and say, heal us. We have erred. Bring us to that point where we will repent without blaming anyone but ourselves. Bring us to that point of total and genuine repentance, because it is in your nature to show mercy. That, Lord, this meeting will mark a new beginning in our lives. That this meeting will mark a turning point in our lives in the right direction. That in years to come, each and every one of us will look back and remember today and say that it was in that meeting on the 23rd of August that my life took a new turn that has enabled me to walk with God to this point where I am today. May this day be a day that will build an altar on it, that it will be a memorial that we will never forget. Thank you, blessed Holy Spirit, because you are our teacher, you are our guide. Even when we go out of here, you will continue to brood over this matter. You will continue to help us. Thank you, Father, for your servant whom you have used. He that watereth shall be watered. And Lord, we pray that your grace will continue to abound with him. We pray that the work we have put into his hands will continue to go places, that lives, that families, that organizations, that churches, that nations will continue to be blessed by his ministry. Thank you for everyone that you have been using to keep this fire burning. Thank you, O Lord, for the errands and the horse, those you are using to put his hands up, not to come down. We also want to thank you for the home front. Thank you, Father, for his wife and children that you are using to continue to encourage him, to continue to help him to stand in the ministry you have called him to bring your word to your people. Thank you, because we know you've answered. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray.